You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You thought you hadn't found a good girl, one to love you and give you the world. Now you find that you've been misused. Talk to me, I'll do what you choose. I want you to tell mama all about it. Tell mama what you need. Tell mama what you want. And I'll make everything all right.
Third and final hour, here we go. A lot of news to get through tonight. Had a huge show last week. I mean, talk about having a backlog of guests that had piled up after a couple of months of special programming.
Also a backlog of news.
A backlog of news. We're sorting it all through. We're alleviating the log jams here the first 2 weeks of May. But last week, want to thank again Kevin McDonald, Paul Fromm, Tom Sunich, Gregory Hood, and Sam Dixon. That was a powerhouse broadcast. Tonight, not too bad either. Lots of news. And Tim Murdoch, always good to catch up with him. And here we are. And I liked what Tucker Carlson wrote in response to his firing. And this is the way, I mean, as we are always optimistic when facing constant and relentless adversities and struggle, here's what Tucker Carlson wrote. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid, Tucker Carlson says. They've given up persuasion. They've moved to force, but it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, and that's what we do here, by the way, Keith, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? Tucker asks rhetorically. There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. I love that. I mean, it has never been easy for us. We have faced opposition and attack since our very first weeks on the air. It has continued unabated. But like Tucker, I enjoy the struggle. Of course, I don't like injustice, and I don't like injustice being visited upon us. But you know, I do it to them. And
see,
there are
so many people that will tell us that we're on a fool's errand, that we can't win. But, you know, spiritually, we know we've got to win. We know that God is on our side. And when God's on your side, it doesn't matter who your enemies are. This is what we have to, you know, we have to keep fighting the good fight, as you say often, James. And I think that we've been doing it now for almost 20 years.
It in a way that will be attractive to the people that we need.
Well, the thing is, we do it with a happy heart because we have everybody's best interests in mind. It's quite frankly better for all races when white people are the ones running the government, for example, and running the businesses and controlling the education. And it's also better when conservative or conservative-leaning people are in charge rather than liberals. Liberalism has a unblemished record of failure in America over the past 70 or 80 years, and everything that is wrong with America can be laid at the feet of liberalism. And liberalism, of course, is a large generic category that is really, you know, subsumed. It's now become wokeness, which is kind of absurd liberalism. So we've got to keep fighting, and the fighting is working. We are making inroads all the time. Why? Because we're making good arguments, and two, because the left is so laughably inept. They have, you know, they are the least popular ideas ever, and everybody realizes they're bad. The rest of the world is running from America because they're trying to enforce those crazy woke values on them, as, for example, the admission ticket to get involved in our economic activity. Well, they said, you know, if that's a cost, we ain't paying it.
All right. So here's the thing, folks. It's like Jared Taylor wrote when announcing the 2023 American Renaissance Conference. By the way, that just got announced last week, so we can let the cat out of the bag that I'll be back there speaking again this coming up August. What are the dates for this? August 11th to the 13th, once again, at Montgomery Bell Inn and Conference Center near Nashville, Tennessee. Sam Dixon will be speaking there, as he does every year. Ricardo Duquesne, like him a lot, a Canadian academic, friend of ours, Gregory Hood, who you just heard from last week, Ruben Caleb, a former member of the parliament in Estonia. Jared Taylor, of course, will be there and announcing the conference. Tickets on sale now, by the way, at amren.com. Keith, you say this all the time. There's a Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. Could it be a blessing in disguise? It would be hard to think of more interesting times than right now. This is what Jared writes in this promo for the conference. Never has the anti-racist left been so powerful or so ridiculous. Never have we faced greater censorship or had so much popular appeal. Join us for a weekend of ideas and camaraderie as we rise together to meet the challenge. And those are very interesting dual truths. Our enemy is very powerful, but it has never been more ridiculous. We have never been more censored or had more popular appeal. So it comes again to the question, does the system... are they acting out as they are now because they feel particularly powerful or particularly vulnerable?
Well, it's kind of an ironic situation. The more ridiculous they are, the more powerful they tend to get. But on the other hand, their power is its own indictment. People see what they stand for. For example, sexual depravity is some type of civil rights. Men can give birth to children and stuff like this. This type of idiocy, nobody is that dumb. And people say, if you truly believe that, you need to be under lock and key. That's what's happening in the world now. That's why everybody is running from America and NATO to embrace China and Russia. It's because they don't want to embrace that type of evil, that type of stupidity that is represented by the positions of the left that dominates World Economic Forum, Davos, the European Parliament, all sorts of things like this. Nobody with a grain of sense thinks that they're right. And these people insist they're right. So people throughout the world are coming to the conclusion that the left is insane. And they are. And what can you do? You know, you cannot do anything more to indict them than just let them talk and spout out their nonsensical ideas to the public generally. And the public generally will say, these people are nuts. That's it.
All right. So I am the beneficiary of being on different email group lists that get a lot of great content. If I just sit back and let the emails come in every week, from people who are having conversations in these discussion threads, we could fill the show. And, you know, yeah, I mean, there could be some sort of deus ex machina event, systemic economic collapse, a catastrophic defeat in war, mass famine, or even the Lord himself returning that delivers us from all of this and turns things on its head. But on a more positive note, Soviet Union died a relatively anticlimactic death. Maybe our regime will too. We'll be back.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Maurice Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. That's AntelopeHillPublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then, the more they use the lie, the more they reproduce the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Now look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. That power protects the cells of the beast from prosecution. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She is protected. We must restore our national relationship with God. Truth is sacred in the kingdom, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6.
A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Up with the sun, gone with the wind. She always said I was lazy. Leaving my home, leaving my friends, running when things get too crazy. Out to the road, out beneath the stars, feeling the breeze, passing the cars.
Well, that comes from the album Beautiful Loser, I believe, and that's what we don't want to be. We don't want to be that.
That's what we've been too much in the past.
Yeah, going back some time now here on this continent, unfortunately, but it didn't used to be that way. It certainly wasn't that way with the story we were talking about at the beginning of the second hour. It wasn't that way in 1539.
Well, see, the difference is that we have allowed the camel's nose in the tent of the left. We do not need to take them seriously. We don't need to take them any more seriously than King John Sobieski took the Sultan when they attacked the city of Vienna back in the 1600s. This is, you know, we cannot let ourselves fall under their spell and try to take them seriously and debate them, because they don't believe in rational debate. They just want to use, it's like Vilfredo Pareto said back in the 19th century, the famous Italian socialist. He said, "When I am weak, I ask you for equality and justice because those are your values." He said, "When I am strong, I deny equality and justice to you because those are my values." That's what it is. It's like also like Alexander Pope said in the Essay on Man. He said, "Vice is a monster of so frightful a mien that to be hated needs but to be seen. But seen too oft, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace." Our first reaction is the right one, just like it is with all of this wokeness, this craziness about transgenderism and stuff like this. Call it out as the inane stupidity and insanity, actually, that it is.
All right. Thank you, Keith, for that. And now let me just tell you something, folks. This is big news for us. I have been anxious to be able to say two words that I'm about to say to you for 2 months. And for that two-month period, during the March Around the World and Confederate History Month, when we're having a special guest on, he goes into the dugout. He goes into the dugout to recuperate mentally and spiritually, and he takes a little time off. That's his off season. And then we had originally intended to bring him back last week once we finally emerged from the 2 months of special programming. But then we had me getting kicked off Twitter, so we had to have the round table. But that's all behind us now. And now it is my pleasure to tell you
what you've been waiting for.
Jack's back. Jack's back. Jack Ryan is back.
Don't hit the road, Jack, but Jack is back.
And he's still alive, and he's still kicking. And, Jack, your off season is over. It's back to the playing field. How you been doing, brother? We've missed you.
I survived. I survived another Midwest winter and spring. Very cold and wet, very Scotland-ish. The parks are all very green. And it's okay. I think bad weather and I get along. My ancestors were in Russia, Germany, England, places like that. They weren't playing beach volleyball with women in bikinis like other people. So
not that you'd mind that, probably. You could probably get used to that.
What have you got against women in bikinis? Yeah, that's totally out of character for you.
Well, I mean, unless it's Elena Kagan in a bikini.
Yeah, that's why he didn't say what kind of woman, Keith.
Wear burkas or something like that.
That reminds me of that.
Had some changes. I gave up alcohol drinking, which is a kind of a change. I used to drink beer and wine, but a lot. But I got a scary report from my doctor, so I just ended that. And I inherited so many good things from my grandfather and my father, but I inherited snoring. They call it apnea. They got all these medical words for things like that. But I've got some good advice, and I've got some cures for the snoring, so that worked. And given up drinking, and for a while I was having good sleep. But now my subconscious, they were not prepared for these things, but they've now reorganized, and now they're torturing me with bad dreams again. So,
this world will do it to you.
And
Well, you're up in Illinois, Jack.
So,
I got to ask you. I know you've got a program prepared for us tonight. I want to get to all that, but I got to ask you first, because we covered this in passing, but we didn't have enough time to cover it properly. Sure. But you're up in Illinois, so you probably heard about the really outrageous election of the Chicago mayor. Now, you no longer have Lori Lightfoot, which you think would be a good thing, but tell us what happened.
Right. Well, one thing I can always say, that I'll tell a joke before I get in there. The idea is that it can't get worse. It could have been worse. And there's this story about this guy, and he always was going, it could have been worse. It could have been after some horrible things. And so they say, okay, finally, we got some story that's going to stump him. He's not going to say it could have been worse. And they had this close friend that everybody knew. It was like, and he came home and he found out that his wife was being unfaithful to him. He murdered his wife and the lover, and then he committed suicide. And then this guy goes, it could have been worse. And he's like, how could it have been worse? How could it have been worse? He said, well, he could have come home an hour earlier when I was with his wife. So.
Let me give you one like that.
Oh, no, you got Keith started now.
This is one you need to put in your repertoire. There's a place called Horn Lake, Mississippi that had a Spring Fest festival, and they tried to have some type of signature event. So they were going to nominate and crown the horniest man in Horn Lake. But then on the other hand, everybody dropped out when they found out the way to prove you're the horniest man in Horn Lake was to have sex with the ugliest woman in Horn Lake, right?
Is that true?
Yeah.
No, you're making that up.
No, that...
You're making
that up. Yeah, Lena Kagan,
right.
Are you
making that up, Keith?
No, I'm not making that up. I was there when they were trying to do it. Now, it never saw the light of day. It was in the councils of the people doing it, but they said there's no way that this is going
to
work.
Now, how do I get the show back on the rails after YouTube?
Getting back to the election.
So basically, you had this radical, full-on black Marxist who was basically running, if I understand correctly, you can correct me because you're up there in that area. But he was basically going to defund the police. I mean, Chicago is already known as like black on black murder capital of the world.
It is the murder capital of America.
There's places that have higher murder rates or things like that, but they do have the most murder. So I'm out of the city, but I have property and business in the city. I keep track of it, and these things are not new.
This is the Chicago that Frank Sinatra sang so glowingly about. What happened?
No,
let's not get into what happened. Well, let's just talk about this one election.
Right. Well, the election is, I mean, all politics for a long, long time have been identity politics. People vote for their racial, ethnic, or sexual group. Now, our people used to have candidates that knew how to be competitive, that could talk to regular people, people like Huey Long or a young George Wallace. Mayor Daley, Richard M. Daley Sr. won every single election in Chicago and nationally for 20 years. He helped elect, he probably stole some votes for John F. Kennedy. He was running as a favorite son. These people knew how to run elections. So did Lee Atwater. Our people have somehow lost the ability to do this, how to appeal, how to put up precinct captains, organizations. And what happened is, and I was arguing tooth and nail with these writers that had been kicked out of Chicago Tribune, good people, for just being politically incorrect. They ran a good government reformer, and he was just not good at politics. Paul Ballas, he was working for school choice, and the other side, there were like 8 black candidates. And so what happens is the top 2 make the runoff, And then they have the runoff. The guy who ran, not only was he socialist and, you know, there in Black Lives Matter. You guys still there?
We're here.
Oh, we're just riveted, Jack, listening.
Okay. So what happened was the runoff. This guy, what he was is he's the Chicago Teachers Union lobbyist. Now, he, like I was a public school teacher for 2 years. I tried my best. He was in the classroom for 2 years. He just passed all of his students, whether they could read or do math. And after that, he got a $125,000 job a year lobbying for more money for the Chicago Teachers Union. The Chicago Public Schools, which were pronounced the worst in America during the 85 under Harry Washington and the Reagan years, the worse they do, the more money they get. So they get $9 billion a year. That's over $30,000, $35,000 per student. So those jobs, paying jobs, they voted for their ethnic group to get all the city jobs, public teachers union, the maintenance place, the clean up the place, the public bus drivers union. So they're voting for their group. Other groups, homosexuals and the like, are doing their own. And just our side just wasn't able to communicate with people. You got a guy like Lee Atwater or John F. Kennedy's father, Joe Kennedy. They knew how to run elections. It wasn't stealing them, but Joe Kennedy's, he would do things like he would find the name of some guy that was running against one of his three sons, and he'd run somebody else with the same last name. And that's the kind of thing. So our people were always doing good government, school choices, lower crime, and things like
they're
that.
Beautiful
so this
losers.
Guy nobody ever heard of. They're beautiful losers. They just don't know how to run campaigns. And they didn't. You could have played other ethnic groups. There's a big Polish community, the Hispanic.
Hold on, Jack. Hold on, Jack. I know you're loaded up after 2 months of downtime.
Hibernation.
We'll be right back with you.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Barmash. President Biden delivered the commencement address at Howard University today.
Biden telling graduates that they are the future of this nation and will be the ones to lead us into tomorrow.
We're living through one of the most consequential moments in our history, with fundamental questions at stake for our nation. Who are we? What do we stand for? What do we believe? Who will we be? You're going to help answer those questions.
Biden also reminded the graduates that he tapped one of their own, Kamala Harris, to become the first Black vice president. I'm John Schaefer.
After leaving Howard University, Biden said they are getting closer to a debt ceiling deal, but they are not there yet. Hundreds of abortion rights activists applauded in Raleigh today as Democratic Governor Roy Cooper placed his veto stamp to a bill that would lower abortions in the state from 20 weeks to 12.
Standing in the way of progress right now is this Republican supermajority legislature that only took 48 hours to turn the clock back 50 years on women's health.
It's not certain if North Carolina's GOP has enough votes to override Cooper's veto. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made a series of stops in Iowa today. As reports indicate, he's about to make it official, announcing his candidacy for president. He said the GOP has a good opportunity to win the White House in 2024, but
if we get distracted, if we focus the election on the past or on other side issues, then I think the Democrats are going to beat us again. And I think it'll be very difficult to recover from that defeat.
Former President Trump was unable to hold his outdoor rally in the Hawkeye State on Saturday due to severe storms throughout the area. This is USA News.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. That's 800-511-6046.
She would embarrass you anywhere. She let everybody know she didn't care. Give me a chance, I've been begging you. I just wanna take care of you. I want you to tell mom all about it. Tell mom what you need. Tell mom what you want.
Time, everybody. Happy Mother's Day, and that's from us to you, and from Jack.
Jack,
Keith and Jack.
Now, Jack, is that Chicago Rhythm and Blues or not?
I didn't recognize the song. So our Rhythm and Blues was Delta Blues that moved.
Well, that's Etta James.
The last guy.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I thought that'd be right up Jack's alley. Yeah.
She also sang At Last.
Buddy Guy's the last of the classic blues guys. He got a bad divorce, but only most Americans.
Real quick, Jack, before we move on from the election. So basically, right. I mean, what you had here was a radical black Marxist running against a part and parcel liberal for the Chicago mayor.
Guy that wants to,
To replace Lori Lightfoot.
He was a beautiful loser who wouldn't really go attack mode on them, and as a result, he lost.
All right, but the guy who won...
He's been on to do ethnic politics, and he's a policy wonk. I was trying to get people to run a well-known Chicago sports celebrity like some of the Bears players from the 85 Bears, that everybody, greatest football team of all time. They could have got African-American middle linebacker Mike Singletary, who's kind of conservative, or Gary Fensick, hardest hitting safety of all time. He's also a Yale graduate. Everybody knows these people, and regular people do vote for sports celebrities. They don't vote for some policy wonk that nobody ever knows.
At least Donald Trump thought they did until he ran at Herschel Walker.
Now, well, we're going to get into this, but Jack, we'll get into the beautiful losers. But St. Francis talked about that, didn't he?
That was his. That and anarcho-tyranny were two of his signature issues.
All right, but Jack, I mean, the radical black Marxist beats the system lackey, and he runs on this BLM platform of, getting rid of the police. If you commit a crime, we're going to send a counselor out to tell you how, you maybe should have not done that. But we're not going to arrest you.
Looting.
Yeah, but so what happened immediately after the election? I mean, immediately after the election, you had a rampant crime spree and outright thuggery and anarchy and beatings on the streets in Chicago, right, Jack? It didn't make it all the way out
to
you.
Well, I've lived in big cities my whole life. I didn't remember the 1950s, early 60s that Keith remembered. I was 7 years old when they had the summer of 68. Riots and all these things. So I'm prepared. I've lived in these areas, and not just in Chicago, but in New York City after college. I was a public school teacher in Brooklyn when crack cocaine came out. So these bad things are they're constant, but it's not hard to understand. So it's not like you're going to get caught. I'm not going to get caught unaware. The first warm night in Chicago, the youths of our city are going to invade the lakefront in downtown by the Red Line. And so if you're or if the blow off of a free fireworks display on Navy Pier or Halloween. So, it's bad. But if you know what's going on, if you got some street smarts, you're not going to get caught in a flash mob there. So what happened? Nobody got killed. But, it's the youth wilding is it's similar to the English soccer hooligans from the 80s. They used to fall around their teams and terrorize people. And That's just what youth does. If you're just a coward or something like that, you're going to get terrorized. But we, our listeners at the political cesspool, are not naive. We're not cowardly. So I don't think most of us are going to get caught in something like that.
Did it surprise you that there was a rash of criminality, including black on white beatings after this man who ran on a platform of deplatforming the police was elected in Chicago?
I didn't think there was a lot of racial. One, they had some tourists that got roughed up and biracial. Nobody got killed.
Yeah, the one woman that was completely surrounded. Yeah. The one white woman completely surrounded.
Yeah, she was. I mean, it was an interracial couple that had. But again, I mean, that wilding use in New York City in the '80s, including the wilding mob that gang raped that Central Park jogger, and she wasn't the only victim that night of that mob, and they all got away with it. You know, so. Yeah, these things are rough. No, it doesn't surprise me. But there are so many atrocities. But as this horrible dictator of the Soviet Union, Stalin, just said after he was reported that over a million Christian peasants had starved to death in the Holodomor when they collectivized the private farms, he said, one death is a tragedy, but a million deaths is just a statistic. So what our side's got to do is we have to tell the truth, don't lie, but we have to come up with real personal stories about victims that are sympathetic. The left does it with Trayvon Martin or Tawana Brawley or that drug dealer
Emmett
George
Floyd.
Our people just Emmett Till, and so our side just quotes statistics that Chicago has averaged over 650 murders every year for the last 40 years. But there are stories that just should be presented, but we just don't have any good propaganda. It's like they had a story. The gangs in Chicago have figured out that the system simply will not punish at all criminals under the age of 18. So the gangs get 16, 17, 14-year-olds to do armed carjackings, and they just get away completely. They had one that where they stole a car. The police did give chase. They crashed into another vehicle, and they killed an 8-month-old baby. I think it was a white baby. So why don't we present that baby as that story that would make people say, okay, this has got to stop. But again, our side just quotes statistics.
Well, I'll tell you, Jack, the answer to that is that's a great question. It's a great question.
Right observation.
And the answer is the people who would be willing to put that up there as our answer to Emmett Till have no voice in media in terms of Fox News and CNN and things like that. And that's it. And the ones that are still there are too concerned about their position to do it. So that's it. It's easy to understand.
That's one side. I just also think that there's certain things that Midwestern Anglos that my family comes from or Southern, we're not known for good. We're not good at foreign languages. We're not good at flamingo dancing. We're just not good at political advertising like Lee Atwater was. Like Lee Atwater would have these issues. Man, he'd be right all over it. He would have it. And you would show interviews of the family and they would cry, this is real. You're not making this stuff up. But our side, and then we always want to do the pro-business side. We always want to tell, well, the problem in Chicago is not 800 murders and little babies being killed. The problem is that the taxes are too high and corporate, and
that's a fool's errand too, because corporate America, big business, Chamber of Commerce has killed us on our issues. They've killed us.
That's a false.
They've
trouble.
Killed
that's
us,
a bad
but again,
the
and
road.
Then we haven't. You got to make it personal. Like we did have a victory. I was going to play a different song beside the Beautiful Loser. One of Bob Seger, but they have just a great parody and a really good-looking woman who did "Oh No, Bud Light," and so that was a
oh yeah, you put that up at Occidental Descent,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that they had a good-looking woman that's doing that. You got to make the issue personal, and I'll keep recommending this book until some of our readers actually read it, which is "Rules for Radicals" by Saul Alinsky. And one of the principles is you got to make the conflict personal. You can't fight City Hall. You can't fight the liberal media. You can't fight Anheuser-Busch. But you most definitely can fight the idiot CEO. And I believe that there's a couple other ones. But it was a real rich wasp named Brendan Whitworth is the guy that is up there. He wasn't the product manager. I got this MBA degree from a really spin. Well, I was supposed to get a product manager. I got messed up for politics. But the guy that did that, his CEO, is Brendan Whitworth, and he gets paid a ton of money. And you got to make it personal. You got to go out there, find out where he plays golf, hang out, and you got to bring it to him so that he's punished, or the governor of Texas, or the Bush family. None of those migrants are going to the Bush family ranch in Crawford, Texas. They're not going to the Obama's rural estate in Martha's Vineyard. You're just putting them on a bus and dumping them on on areas in Chicago, like where I used to live. And that our side does not make it personal. We don't know how to fight. We just complain. That's
this
why
is
we
it.
Always lose.
This is it. This is it. Jack, you are onto something here, as you so often are. That's why we've kept you around as a contributor and to our benefit for so many years now. But you just said rules for radicals, Saul Alinsky. Keith, not a week ago, you were saying to me in private conversation off the air, if our people want to do what works, do what the left is doing.
Exactly. They have the blueprint for success.
They dox people. I've been doxed, and I've doxed. It is better to have doxed. And love, I don't know, some version of that. Doxing,
never to have doxed
better,
at all.
Better to have doxed than be doxed.
Better to have doxed and lost than never to have doxed at all.
Right, it is. And you got to make it personal, and you've got just there. And we just, all kinds of traders. You go down the list from Inspiration Magazine, American Renaissance, are the worst traders of the year. People like George Will, Rand Paul, who was that guy? That Jack Kemp, Ted Turner. Boy, he got punished enough on his own just for marrying Hanoi.
Marrying Jane Fonda must have been like the seventh circle of hell.
Hang on. Listen, here we are. We're back with Jack for the first time in 2 months, and already we're laughing and cutting up, but still getting to the real issues as we can only do with Jack. It's fun, but it's informative, and it's serious, and but you still laugh. We'll be back. One more segment with Jack. Stay tuned. Love this guy.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Sometimes I get emails or questions from audience members. Do you really like the music you talk about on the radio? And the answer is, the honest answer is, I don't. I don't like it. I love it.
Well, the question is, what does D.D. Sharp singing Mashed Potatoes have to do with Mother's Day?
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with Mother's Day, but...
I guess mothers make mashed potatoes.
It does have to do with Jack. Jack is a dancing aficionado. He was talking about the flamenco a little bit earlier, and I like the songs. So there's always that. But the question is, Jack, can you do the mashed potato?
You know, and I... I actually confess I haven't heard that song.
What is this?
Where? You've been living under a rock?
James or Diddy Sharp? Keith, can you do the mashed potato?
I can do the pony. I can do the mashed potato.
Can you do the stroll?
I can do the stroll. I can do the nitty gritty.
Can you do the twist?
Right. Oh, man. Yeah.
Who couldn't do the twist?
Yeah, right.
That's okay, all right.
Daddy is sleeping. Mama's not around.
And the dance that I do the best is called Surrock, C'est le Rock. The name is French.
Well, you're doing real dances. We're talking about 60s.
Yeah. What type of a feet snobbery is this? Yeah.
But now, Jack's doing real dances.
Well,
I want to know if Keith can do the Freddy. If you can't do the Freddy.
Yeah, I can do the Freddy. And basically, doing the Freddy is like doing the twist. If somebody puts red ants in your underwear, you can do that dance.
But my version is like the twist, but you hold on to your partner and your spinner and things like that. So I'm really big on partner dancing. And I really don't dislike this idea of dancing alone.
Sounds like you're into sexual harassment.
No. Well, partner dancing. No, we got to get back. I'm with Jack. We got to get back to partner dancing.
If you're dancing alone, you're going to be making love alone. Okay, and there's a word for that, which I'm not going to show on a family. So we want our people to be partner dancing and socializing. And plus, there's not that many things that at least I do that I like to do with women.
We've got a place in Memphis called the Rumble Room, which is made for you.
Yeah, I know the Rumble Room. Yeah, that's right. That Jack would be.
All right, well, we got to switch gears. I got to talk about my movies, okay?
All right. So I was going to play the Freddy, but there he is right there. We'll watch it after the show anyway. Keith and I can do the dances, like the single song dance. Who couldn't do the twist?
Right.
We can't do the stuff that they do the Rumble Room, what Jack can do. We can't do that.
Yeah, can't do
all right,
that.
But Jack, listen, I will tell you this before I turn the
phone.
We're getting out of hand. It's out of control. We're off the rail.
Right.
Jack,
right.
I will tell you this, though, in sincerity.
Right.
2 months off has done you well. I have enjoyed this. It has been a fast 3 seconds. We've got a few minutes remaining.
Okay.
The floor is yours. You can talk about recommendations, be it book, music, or movie recommendations, or anything.
I want to recommend books and movies every week so that they happen. And I like for our people, if you can't actually read the whole book, they used to have something called Cliff Notes when I went to college, like Shakespeare.
That's how I got through school.
The Cliff Note version of Brooklyn. Yeah, no, they have. Okay, so the book I recommend, again, and I've recommended before, but I think people aren't reading, is Rules for Radicals. It's not a large book, but you study it, and there are just some basic rules. The most basic is make the conflict personal. Okay, the movies we're talking about tonight are the Peter Pan movies, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 ones. Peter Pan movies, including, you think Disney is competing with itself for what they can make for a worse woke remake that everybody hates that loses a ton of money. But apparently this Peter Pan one is going to be the worst ever, and it's going to lose the most money. Their stock went down.
Well, Tinkerbell's black, and they got a black Little Mermaid. Yeah. Little Mermaid's black. Ariel's black, and Tinkerbell's black.
Yeah, and Peter Pan is gay.
Peter Pan's gay, and Wendy's knocking him around, bitch slapping him. Sorry, excuse me, friend. And it's feminist. Everyone hates this movie. They're going, and so they don't even release it in theaters anymore. They just stream
DeSantis,
it.
DeSantis, please do America and the world a favor by driving Disney out of
Jack's
business.
Well, Jack's onto something because this is a major. Listen here now. This is a live action. Movie based upon one of the classic animations, and put, you know, the original Peter Pan was fantastic.
Or the book, So
the book before that. But this is it. Right. And now, but they can't even. It's so embarrassing. They have to release it on their streaming service, which just lost like 4 million members in the last quarter because it's the kind of woke content they put out.
Let's call right here and now for a boycott of Disney, modern Disney.
Well, let's not get too.
James watches that crap.
James likes the.
There's some other. Oh, here are the Disney movies. There's the animated 1953 Peter Pan. There's Hook, directed by Steven Spielberg with Robin Williams, which I haven't seen the
whole
version. And Dustin Hoffman was in there.
Yeah,
that's
all right.
Who was he? Tinkerbell?
Right. No, he was Captain Hook.
Still, it's kind of J-Way. And then there's a beautiful one in 2003, Peter Pan, starring Jeremy Sumpter and Olivia Williams, Lynn Redgrave, that Redgrave's famous family is in it. And the chemistry between Wendy and Peter Pan is fantastic. It's traditional. It's the whole idea the boy will never grow up unless somehow he finds love.
And Wendy knows she's got that power, and she's just tormenting Peter Pan, like, oh, he's scared that he'll have to grow up. It's fantastic. Then there was a beautiful one about the story of the writer, J.M. Barrie, Finding Neverland, starring Johnny Depp. And that is just a classic English story. It's fantastic. It's very good. There was some other Pan I didn't look at. But the I saw the animated one for the first time. I've seen snippets of it before, from 1953. The music is a little hokey. I don't think it's fun, but the actual story and animation, the characters are fantastic. I think they are incredibly good. Captain Hook is really
but
good.
But none of these Wendy's was bad enough to satisfy the current executives at Disney, so they've made this new one, right?
Oh, they want to try to get out. And it's just, it's very English, the wholesome, but they have dreams and adventures of pirates and Indians. And they are, and the thing I love about 50s things is there's supposedly no sex, but there's all this implied stuff. So every female character in the 1953 animated Peter Pan's got the hots for Peter Pan. Wendy in a wholesome kind of way. Then they have some mermaids, some sexy
the
mermaids.
The mermaids,
Tinkerbell, and then Tiger
and,
Lily.
What's that? What's the Indian girl?
Yeah.
Tiger, the princess?
Tiger Lily. And they are all these girls that got the hots for Peter Pan, and they're real jealous of Wendy. That's the thing of Tinkerbell that Captain Hook works in on that.
And Wendy is a perfect lady.
It's charming. It's amazing. It's fantastic. I just love it. I couldn't recommend it enough. So there's another subject we're getting. We have so many problems with our people while we lose. And one of them is we're always so honest. We're always so law-abiding. There's a big percentage of our people. If they say the government passed a law that says you have to turn over your four-year-old to drag queens and homosexual propaganda, if they say the law, they'll do it. So I'm like, no, if it's a bad law, don't do it. And so since this horrible executives like Bob Iger at Disney are taking all classic Disney, using the profits to sexually groom kids at Disney themes, don't give them the profits. So I think we should pirate these classic Disneys and just sell it. I mean, we'd still be a British colony if we obeyed every single law, right? So
Ron DeSantis is the new Peter Pan taking on Captain Hook as the head of Disney.
Where does Smee, who's Smee
right.
in this analogy?
What are you in this one? The father's pretty good. He's kind of square, uptight, and the he's a little overprotective of Wendy. He says,
that was Hans Conrad in the 53.
I really think that this first time I've seen the whole one together. I didn't remember that there were mermaids in this one, and they're sexy mermaids, and they don't like Wendy coming in, and they're trying to dunk her in water because they're jealous of that Peter Pan's giving her all this attention. The Captain Hook is a great, great guy, and there's enough danger and excitement.
And also, Wendy is a perfect lady. Yeah. She is just
she's a
manners
lady.
And beautiful. Yeah, just absolutely perfect.
And she wants to be a mom to the Lost Boys. Yeah, she wants to be a mom, but she also knows that she's
maternal
got
that
one. She jumped in the arms of Peter Pan and tries to give him a kiss to make him grow up. So, and then just great. It's one of my favorite. I've never watched from beginning to end the 1953 Peter Pan. They used to have women gymnasts perform Peter Pan live in theater, like Kathy Rigby and things like that. So it was originally presented as a theater one, which is shown in that great movie Finding Neverland. And it's just charming. It's the English really had such writers, and it transferred up until they used to do BBC and Thames, and then it would come in the PBS in Boston. It wasn't very political, just great English-British productions. I loved I, Claudius. I guess those things have kind of
England had such a wonderful civilization until all the men were killed off by the likes of Winston Churchill in World Wars I and II.
This is true. I mean, why did Anglo-Saxon English people go off to Saxony, Germany, to slaughter Saxon Germans? And I write that wouldn't have been better if the Normans had invaded England from
Normandy. Because
Normandy
the tribe
Beach,
wanted
like
them to.
1066. Well, they did, or else our people end up doing stupid stuff. You don't see J people say, hey, let's go off to Israel and kill our J cousins. Do you see them doing stupid stuff like that? But you see
they
people.
Haven't, they
and
haven't been vilified
say,
for being white supremacists.
Well, they are, but then, I mean, when I was posing the first Bush Senior Iraq War in Nashville, Tennessee, 30 years ago, that I'm trying to tell people, like, this isn't our war. We've got enough problems. Our borders aren't protected. Our cities are falling in the third world slums, the drugs, disease, and despair. So why do you have to go off into Iraq and start invading and kill them? And the other ones are like, well, why not? You know, they just like war. They just want to support the troops, wave the flag. Now that it's gotten so bad that our military is they're recruiting people with trannies to try to get people to sign up. If your son, we'll do one, but if your son or brother is signing up for a long naval excursion on a submarine and they're playing the village people in the Navy, I would
think
say
again.
That's probably time to go AWOL. Yeah. So, yeah, there's good stuff out there, but you don't have to consume the current what crap that goes out. And so we have to have our own networks with book clubs and film clubs, and there's good stuff. So, but, you know, we're not ruling this country. We live in an occupied country, so get used to it. We can't be conservatives. We've lost everything that was good about.
That's right. That is the perfect way to end the show. Jack, you were the highlight of the program tonight. Love Tim Murdoch.
Thank you
always
so much.
A great guest. Listen, I it's always an honor to work with you. Great to have you back after, you know, of course, in March it's international guests, and in April it's Southern themed guests. But it's great to have you back, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Fantastic presentation tonight. You always come in prepared. You always have great topics, great things
Thank
to talk
about. Thank you so
much. I love you. For Keith Alexander, for Tim Murdoch, I'm James Edwards. You want to say goodnight to Jack?
Good night, Jack, and keep bringing it, buddy.
Good night.
All right, we'll talk to you all next week, ladies and
it.
Gentlemen, as TPC rolls on. Good night.